company. Had a look, had a hit! Oh! Captain Fantastic!
And with that strike, still hurt. Liverpool hearts all over the world broke. It was magnificent, Vincent Kompany, at 70th minute, just as it started to appear possible that Leicester was going to hold them to a nil-all draw and open up a world of glorious possibility. It was taken away by the strike of a man of high character and high talent, Adam Peacock, part of the great team at Fox Sports who cover the great game. Good enough to join us with a lot to talk about. Adam, appreciate your time again, mate.
You okay, mate?
No, I'm not actually. No, you know what? You know what I was doing? I swear to God, I've been sitting there from 5 o'clock this morning watching it. I got up at halftime to make a cup of coffee. I sat back down. It got to 10 seconds before the Kompany goal, and all I was doing was looking at the clock, and I was thinking, these seconds are taking a really long time to tick by. So I thought, I'll get up and I'm going to slow-mo video the clock ticking and just show how painful it is for Liverpool supporter. Tweet some stupid thing out. As I was walking towards the TV, you know what happened, don't you?
Yeah, I know what happened. So you changed your seat.
I did, mate. I feel completely responsible.
Don't change your seat. Don't do it.
So I know, and I can't forgive myself. Before we talk about the nuts and bolts, you can only have one goal to score. You can only have one goal to score. Lionel Messi's dead ball against Liverpool last week in the first leg of the Champions League semi-final, or Vincent Kompany's last or this morning our time against Leicester. Which goal do you score?
If I'm in a Newcastle United shirt, probably the one that makes it very comfortable or very possible that you're going to win the title. Like Leo Messi, that was great, but that was something else from Kompany. Just the source for the Thursday, the player who did it. I mean, you can hardly expect it from Leo Messi, but you're 99% sure that Kompany's going to miss, and you're 50% sure that he's going to put it in the row ZZ, yes. The double Z, right up the top.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was an extraordinary strike from a fantastic player, and as Peter Drury, as he does, the commentator, he puts a fair amount of syrup on it. He used the Colossus and all those things. They were true. It was getting a little over the top towards the end of it. He just kept on going and going and goes, right, Pete, just get back to calling the game. Okay, mate. But he is all those things, Vincent Kompany. He's an amazing leader. He's the heartbeat of a club, which, I mean, you look at it, and they're known for, you know, just going out and buying. He's been there for a very long time.
Yeah, so, yeah.
He survived.
They're a remarkable team. I mean, they create so many chances for themselves. They've got so many players who have got the capacity to take it away. They should be, by the way, with the bankroll that they've got to put together a solid list. So you expect nothing less. But they are, as hard as it was to admit, as hard as it is, they are a really good team to watch play their football.
Oh, they were. Like you was watching this morning, and I wasn't looking at the clock. I was looking at the football, being in neutral, so it didn't really affect me too much what was going on at the top left-hand corner. But the way that they were pinging the ball around, just fantastic. Now, the cutting-edge nature of being able to fashion a chance, and there was a couple in the first half and a couple in the second half, which perhaps on another day go in. But, yeah, the way that they pass and move and just the touch, you have to see it live, these guys. You see it on TV and you take it a bit for granted. I reckon it's a bit like those NBA players. You take it a bit for granted what they can do athletically and skill-wise at the same time as being like Olympic athletes pretty much. It is just something extraordinary to behold. And conversely, Liverpool as well, when they play a little bit of a different style. It's more helter-skelter without keeping the ball for long periods. But it is amazing to watch, you're right.
Just to digress before we move on, Harry Maguire announced himself to the world to a large degree in the most recent World Cup. I don't really watch much of Leicester play. He's a hell of a player, Adam. He's a very, very good footballer, that fella.
Yeah, well, Manchester United wanted him. Mourinho wanted him before the start of the season, and I think it was the club that told Mourinho, unless I'm not mistaken, to no, you can't have him. And Leicester kept holding. They've got Brendan Rodgers now. They could be a pretty handy football side next year. They've got some really exciting players, as you found out this morning, and Ian Archo could have made himself a Liverpool his hero for the rest of time if he scored that late chance. I still don't know how he put it where he put it, like almost a goal wide of the goal. But still, that's a bit of the luck that Manchester City had this morning. And the one thing for me this morning, sorry to get off topic about Leicester City, the one thing for me was Vincent Kompany when he slipped just after he scored the goal. Now, this is when you know things are going for you, because Brendan Rodgers would have been watching that, given what happened with Steven Gerrard a few years ago and having an out-of-body experience, looking at it going, why couldn't Steven Gerrard get back to his feet as quickly as he did 5 years ago? But they're the things that win decide titles in title races like this. Just minute things, tiny little things.
Yeah, so you watch Manchester City, you know, breast the tape the way they are. They've been phenomenal since they were sort of 10 points, you know, kind of behind in the title race. They've hardly put a foot wrong, and they've hardly been beaten in the run to the wire. Like, they've just been absolutely phenomenal. How would you sum up, with that as the kind of benchmark, how would you sum up the end of the Premier League seasons of Tottenham, Manchester United and Arsenal?
Yeah, when you ride a bike and sometimes the spokes are a bit loose, or the actual wheel's a bit loose, and the bike starts to wobble a lot, and then if you're not careful, you could fall off and do yourself a huge amount of injury.
Yes.
That's pretty much what's happened to these sides. Look, long season, various reasons. Manchester United, emotional ups and downs for the season. Mourinho getting sacked, Solskjaer coming in, they had that spike, and now obviously they've dropped off and they've got a lot of personnel changes to come. Arsenal, Europa League, still in that. Long way to go. Tottenham, not only still in the Champions League, but also they didn't sign anyone in the summer, and a lot of their squad came back late from the World Cup. So, and Chelsea, they've had a lot of ups and downs as well. It's remarkable how it's all finished now. I thought it was going to go down to the last day. So you've got Arsenal and Manchester United staring Europa League in the face, unless Arsenal win the Europa League and get in the Champions League that way. And Chelsea, Tottenham, looks like they're going to play Champions League again.
No, there won't be any apprehension, will there, at Manchester United about the speed at which they decided to sign Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? That since they've sort of signed him, the kind of season stalled. The reports out this morning were that they're looking to, you know, sell Martial, and who knows what other kind of key list movements there might be. There won't be anybody at Manchester United thinking maybe we're a bit too hasty.
You couldn't, because there was no one at the time when he was actually signed, after the run that they went on, the amazing run of over 10 games, that you thought to yourself, well, this guy's the wrong guy, or we're unsure of it. You're sure about it then, maybe unsure about it now, but you can't blame them for signing him when they did.
Yeah.
He was the right fit at the right time. And, yeah, okay, on reflection, it's like, oh, I just get the feeling that the playing stock there, a lot of them are damaged goods still from the Mourinho years and before that as well. So a clear-out is on the way. If they're not careful, and I don't say this lightly, if they're not careful over the next 10 years, if they don't get it right soon-ish, they could turn into what Liverpool were in reference to what Liverpool did in the 80s and what Manchester United are going to do over the next decade or so, in like winning everything and then having a huge spell where you're like, you're almost successful, but you're not winning titles. So, yeah, they've got to be careful.
You know, the voice that belongs to Adam Peacock from Fox Sports. We now know that closer to home, that Victory and Adelaide march through the elimination finals. They get to play their semis this weekend. It gives a chance to reflect on Melbourne City before we, you know, later on the week, look forward to the other games, Adam. The Warren Joyce tenure at Melbourne City, and particularly this year, the handling of, you know, Fornaroli and the style of football they played. How would you assess the Warren Joyce tenure at Melbourne City, if it is in fact to come to its end?
Not good enough.
Yep.
And I would say that with all due respect to Warren Joyce, who I actually like as a person, but I find the football that Melbourne City has played this year pretty uninspiring, unfortunately. And I've heard, we had the A-League Hour last night and put it out there, it was really hard to get a read. I was trying to pick some brains across the weekend about what was going to happen, whether or not he was going to re-sign for another year, which was the rumour, whether or not they were going to let him go, whether or not Brian Marwood, who's the boss of City Football Group that overlooks Melbourne City, he's got a relationship with Warren Joyce. That counts for something. I heard late last night that he was going to be let go today, and it hasn't happened yet. So all very quiet, which is the way it should be. Probably no rumours getting out and no leaks. They've got to operate as a football club as a whole. So I just think, yeah, they need to make a change because unfortunately it just hasn't worked for Warren Joyce there. The style of football that they play is in total contrast to what Manchester City play. And if they're one group and they're trying to play the one style of football, well, they've failed here.
And just quickly before I do let you go, if there is to be an upset on the weekend, is it more likely to be Victory beating Sydney or Adelaide beating Perth?
I'm actually going to tip Victory because I think they're the better chance because they've left nine players at home. Sydney play tonight in the Champions League. Victory play tomorrow, but they've taken a reserve team pretty much to play in Korea tomorrow night. But Sydney have got a lot riding on tonight's game, so that might take a little bit about them. But just if it was a matchup, a fresh matchup, I'd probably still lump for Victory. Adelaide are a chance if Neil Kilkenny doesn't play, which sounds very doubtful for Perth. He's one of their most, if not the most important player. So, we've got the chance of some upsets this weekend, but the more likely for mine happens on Sunday at Cogra between Victory and Sydney.
A lot to look forward to, mate. As always, appreciate you joining us on a really, really dark day for world football with the likelihood of Liverpool coming in the Premier League. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Guess what? You got another because they play Barcelona tomorrow.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. Adam Peacock from Fox Sports News.